As Americans this week celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776, we turn to another fight for independence, one that took nearly 150 years more. The new Broadway musical Suffs is about some of the personalities who led the fight to give women the right to vote. NPR's Elizabeth Blair brings us the history behind some of the songs.
Let's start with some of the people involved here. There's Carrie Chapman Catt, a veteran of the movement, in her 50s, using the charm offensive.
Let mother vote. We raised you after all. Won't you thank the lady you have loved since you were small?
There's Alice Paul, an eager radical in her 20s.
I don't want to have to compromise. I don't want to to beg for crumbs from a country that doesn't care what I say.
And Ida B. Wells, a journalist and anti-lynching and civil rights activist.
How many more thrown in nameless graves? How many more falsely charged with crime? How many more whipped and shot like slaves? How many more murdered in their prime?
These women may have been fighting for the same cause, but when it came to winning the right to vote, their strategies clashed. Suffs begins as the women are organizing a march in Washington, D.C. in 1913, the first of its kind. There were obstacles. Before she died in 1977, Alice Paul was interviewed for a suffragist history project. The audio is with the Oral History Center of the Bancroft Library at UC Berkeley. She said at first the police wouldn't let them march where they wanted to.
So we said we just must have Pennsylvania Avenue, and they said, well, that's fine, and we certainly won't let you have it. Totally unsuitable for women to be marching down Pennsylvania Avenue.
But these women were well-connected and got permission. Another issue, they were getting letters from supporters saying they would not march if black women were walking alongside them. In Suffs, Alice Paul tries to convince Ida B. Wells, a co-founder of the NAACP, to compromise. Historically, organizers called for black women to be segregated.
I think we all must do whatever it takes to go on, even if that means waiting your turn.
Almost every time, the music stops and the audience, you hear some of them really gasp.
Actor Nikki James plays Ida B. Wells.
Wait my turn. When will you white women ever learn?
Basically, Ida says, you're asking me to put my race before my sex. You're asking me to compromise part of my identity to serve your purpose without registering how much that costs. I would say that as a black woman in 2024, it feels very relevant.
Deeds, not words, is the button on your jacket. I'm so sick of rhetoric with no action to back it.
Ultimately, Ida B. Wells did march, not in back, but with her state delegation of Illinois. Many black women ignored the segregation request. Author and historian Michelle Duster is Wells' great-granddaughter. She says she grew up hearing that Wells was uncompromising.
I think she was really actually willing to die for her convictions because she believed so strongly that she is an American and she deserves to have first-class citizenship.
The racial and generational tension within the women's movement was messy, and the human drama behind it resonated personally with Suffs creator Shayna Taub.
When I was busing out of college and when you're the young person and you're like, this previous generation did everything wrong, I'm going to shake it up. The sort of youthful bravado is necessary for a movement to have. And then when you get a little older and you see the younger version come along and you think, oh, that was me.
And that's how it was between veteran suffragist Carrie Chapman Catt and 20-something Alice Paul.
I made allies. I took action.
Who cares who gets the credit or the blame?
Their relationship was not good.
Historian Marjorie Sproul has written books about women's history. She says their styles of activism were very different. As the country was gripped by World War I, Catt wanted the suffrage movement to support the war so that the administration would see the movement as an ally, a kind of quid pro quo. But Paul and her National Women's Party remained militant.
Catt, though she was very much an idealist and a pacifist, she was also a pragmatist at this point in her life. Meanwhile, the National Woman's Party was picketing the White House, criticizing the president, even burning his speeches, burning him in effigy.
In 1917, Paul and dozens of her fellow protesters were thrown in jail. Some were beaten. They went on hunger strikes and were force-fed. Paul was nearly sent to a mental institution. Shana Taub wondered what having her sanity questioned must have been like.
And so I had to think, okay, Alice, who has been so stubborn and so unrelenting and so action-based in this moment, what would she say to sort of pour her humanity out?
Is it worth it? 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 Is it worth it?
The fact that women can now vote means that it was. The 19th Amendment became law in August 1920, over 70 years after women began to organize for it. When Ida B. Wells' descendant Michelle Duster saw Suffs, she was taken by a song all of the suffragists sing.
Here.
I want my sisters to know I was here.
I want my great-granddaughter to know I was here.
I want my great-granddaughter to know I was here. And of course that, you know, resonated with me because I am here and I'm sitting here watching this as a great-granddaughter of one of the characters. I'm like, whoa, this is powerful. It really hit me. Just the idea that these women were doing the work so that their descendants would be able to have rights that they did not grow up having.
Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.